There is nothing wrong with having doubts. In fact, doubting can be very worthwhile if it causes us to investigate the problem. We shouldn't be overcome with our doubts, but rather take the time to search for truth. Christ assured his disciples that though he would be returning to heaven, his ministry would not end. It would continue through the disciples. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Here was a remarkable provision to enable the disciples to fulfill their obligation. This was not their first experience with the Holy Spirit. Long before, Christ had made it clear that when one believed on him, the Spirit would make his abode with the believer. In John chapter 7, verse 39, he spoke of the Holy Spirit and said, Which they that believe on him should receive. The experience in the upper room did not have to do with the indwelling, but rather the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Now, to witness for Christ, not only is it essential that one be indwelt by the Spirit, he must be filled with the Spirit. Verse 22 makes this clear. This is the only time our Lord ever breathed on the disciples. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, we read, And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Until then, man was but a lump of clay. A Christian without the infilling of the Holy Spirit is as helpless and useless in serving God as man was before God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Notice also that Christ did not force the fullness of his Spirit on his disciples. He said, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. In breathing on them, he made the fullness possible, but they had to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit by faith in the same manner in which they had received the indwelling of the Spirit at conversion. Now, verse 23 says, Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Do not be disillusioned into thinking that these men were given special authority to absolve sin. Nowhere in the New Testament was anyone ever delegated to forgive sin. The disciples knew that only Christ could forgive sin. What did Jesus mean by his statement? Simply that wherever a Christian shares the truth, those who believe in Christ will have their sins forgiven by God. But those who refuse to receive Christ will continue in their lost state, with their sins being retained. God the Holy Spirit does this through the believer. Thus, we should grasp every opportunity to let the Spirit of God work through us as we faithfully witness to the saving power of Jesus Christ. Now, the 10 disciples who gathered in the upper room experienced a profound blessing that none of them anticipated. What an experience that must have been. I suppose every one of them said afterwards, I would not have missed it for anything. But regrettably, somebody did miss. Notice verse 24. Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Little is said in the Bible about Thomas, but whatever is said suggests that he was a melancholy, gloomy temperament. When our Lord wanted to go back into Judea with its many dangers, Thomas blurted out, Let us also go that we may die with him. In his concluding message to his disciples, Jesus spoke of going away and then added, Whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. How did Thomas react? Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Whatever Thomas said seemed to evidence his down-in-the-mouth attitude. Surely he had been told of our Lord's appearances, but he refused to believe. Verse 25, The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thomas refused to believe until he could see. By God's grace, he had that privilege a week later. Verse 26, and after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Doubtless the disciples were gathered in the same place they had been before. Thomas was not absent this time. If there was such a happening again, he wanted to be in on it. Immediately after his greeting, our Lord extended a special invitation to Thomas, saying in verse 27, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. He followed this by a gentle rebuke, Be not faithless, but believing. Here was a call for decision in Thomas's life. We are not told that Thomas examined Christ's wounds, but he cried out immediately in wholehearted commitment, My Lord and my God! Verse 29, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Here is an important beatitude that was not included in the Sermon on the Mount. Of whom was he speaking? Certainly not of the other 10 disciples, for they had seen and had believed. He was speaking of that great host in ages to come who would by faith make their commitment to Jesus Christ and claim him as Savior and Lord. Next, John provides another of his parenthetical statements that appear so frequently throughout his gospel. What he says here is related not only to this particular chapter, but to the entire book. Notice verse 30 and also 31, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing have life through his name. Christ's miracles were performed in the presence of his disciples. This does not mean that there were no unbelievers present, but that Christ's miracles had been substantiated by accurate witnesses. John did not record all the miracles Jesus performed, nor did the other writers. The ones John selected were chosen for the specific purpose that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we might have life through his name. Have you received this life through Jesus Christ? If not, God is calling you to himself at this moment, saying, Come and believe, trust Christ for your salvation. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our living Lord, one who was raised from the dead, who sits in authority today and someday will come again. God, help many to believe on him and trust him. May they lay their doubts aside and receive Christ into their hearts and life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.